men and women were meant to be together. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me? Men and women were meant to be together? Or is this a general lay of the land? Yeah, I think it's a general lay of the land, according to my perspective here. And where did it all start? Where did it all start? No, that was a good movie, but it didn't start there. No. It started in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, we see a man and a woman. Woman coming out of the man, and there was an instant magnetic attraction. And maybe it's not proper for me to mention this, but I think it is that sex is the primary impetus for marriage. Sex is why you get married. Otherwise, you'd be roommates. That's not just me, right? And I'm not talking about necessarily the act of sex. I'm talking about holding hands. That sex, looking at the member of the opposite sex and thinking about sex is sex. Touching your wife's hair or smelling her neck and things like that. That is all sexually related things. So you don't have to, intersect body parts to be talking about the sexual attraction between men and women. And I'm going to read a very famous verse, but a verse that few people understand. Actually, it's not that famous. Yes, I might even call it infamous. Naturally, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. All right, now first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to get into the topic of marriage here. And this has a lot to do with sex. I almost said I'm sorry to tell you that, but I'm not. Why should I be sorry about it? This is God's design, not mine. I didn't invent it. Although every generation thinks they invented sex. No, this was God's invention, and it happened in the Garden of Eden. Someday I'll tell you about the first instance of eroticism in the Garden of Eden. It shouldn't be hard to imagine. No, I better not talk about that now. I will get to it later. 1 Corinthians 7, let's start with verse 1. Now, concerning, I don't know how long it's going to take me to do this. We're going to talk about marriage. It might take me a day. I doubt it. It might take me 2 days. It might take me a week. As you notice, Dan Sheridan's not back on the Zender Sheridan show yet. He's extremely busy. I think he's having a powwow with Obama right now. He has a job now where he's writing about the political process, and in a way he hates it, in another way he despises it. But he's good at it. That's his problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now, concerning what you write to me, it is ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. It's ideal to win the lottery, too. Not really. But it's ideal for a man not to touch a woman. Paul presents a series of ideals here, followed by a series of concessions. The concessions come after the ideals. No surprise there, or at least there shouldn't be. I suppose Paul's saying here that it's simpler in life to be single. All right. I guess you have less hassles. You have a happy, carefree life when you're single. But is there more to life than happy and carefree? Absolutely. It's wonderful to be involved with someone else's life, especially when that someone is a member of the opposite sex. It's fascinating. It's frustrating. It's fraught with peril. It's like walking on the edge of a cliff, and yet we all do it. We can't help it. We want to do it. What's the famous saying? This is right up there with death and taxes, in my opinion. You can't live with them, you can't live without them. Man, is that one of the truest things ever. I don't know. To me, it's easier to live with them, no matter how hard it is. It's just, we're designed to be this way. Men need to be with women, and women need to be with men. That's the tricky part. Women need to be with men. Everybody knows men need to be with women, but few people realize that women need to be with men. Women thrive under the headship of a godly man. Women desire to be protected. Deep down, they want to be protected and cherished and covered. And that is what a man is to a woman in the divine design of marriage. Man provides the protection. He's the head of the woman. I know that's not a popular modern truth, but the modern divorce rate is 60%. And that's because women have been tricked into thinking they don't need men. As Gloria Steinem famously said, women need men like a fish needs a bicycle. Guess where that has led us? To a 60% divorce rate, to broken families, and Satan is using the family to destroy the fabric of society. Women do need men. Now, fish don't need bicycles. I'll grant you that, Ms. Steinem. But women need men. They need the headship of a man. But they have been tricked into thinking that they can be self-sufficient, that they are happiest. They can be self-sufficient. I'm not saying women can't be self-sufficient. They can multitask. They're wonder creatures. They can juggle and ride a unicycle, for God's sake, and cook and have sex simultaneously, and take the kids to soccer practice. I don't know how they do it, and solve an algebra problem. It's amazing what women can do, and look good, and smell good while they're doing it. I don't understand that men can't do anything like this. We can hardly, we have to do one thing at a time, you know, whether it's fixing the car. Well, let me tell you something that applies directly to me. Let's see, fixing your car, that doesn't apply directly to me. It's brushing my teeth. That's all I can do at a time is brush my teeth. But women can do multiple things, and yet they are designed by God to thrive under the protection of a man. Society has tricked them into not believing this. And so women think they're going to be happiest when they're getting a career. Not that women can't have careers. As Ronald Reagan famously said, why should women want equal rights? It would only downgrade them. And I totally believe this. Equal rights downgrade women. They're on a pedestal. They're special. They're the Hope Diamond. They're sitting up there on a pedestal and a platform, and now they want equal rights? They want to be equal with men? They want to be hassled and harried with us? They want to be stupid? They want to be dirty? They want dirt under their fingernails? They want to stink? They want hairy armpits? Why do women want to be equal to men? I don't get it. Women are precious. What are they doing killing themselves in the workplace? The most esteemed thing a woman can do is raise children and love a husband. And the headship of a man over a woman is the divine principle. And women are happiest when they're under the headship of a man. But men are terrible. Most men are terrible. I cannot believe what I'm hearing from you folks out there. Of the so many women who have been abused by men. I don't know what has gotten into these men. They must be crazy. I don't know. They must have an insane gene that's flowering in this evil administration, this evil eon. I don't know what it is, but I hate it. But there are godly men in the world, and my prayer for all women is to come under the headship and love of a godly man who will cherish and nurture you. I love to cherish and nurture women, even when I'm not with one, like at present, and it's horrible. I can't stand it. I love to cherish and treasure a woman. I go out of my way to open a door for a woman. I mean, I'm looking now for to do something nice for women, the fair gender, the fair sex. Women are amazing, and it hurts me to not be able to serve one, to worship one, to adore one. That's what I do. It's in my bones, and I think it's in every man to do that. But somewhere along the line, men have been hurt by women, or they've been intimidated by women, and then they use their only thing they have left against women, which is physical strength. Otherwise, women are superior in every way to men. And I truly believe this. Let me change channels a little bit. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. I look at creation in Eden, and I see progression of God's creation. He starts with the sea slime, and then he moves up to the tadpole, and then we see some really good-looking fish, like maybe bluegills or catfish, or no, catfish are ugly, barracudas, sharks, and then we see the land, the creatures of the land coming out. You start with the three-toed sloth, and then you get up to the porcupine, which is a really impressive creature. Then you get the giraffe and the elephant, and it's progression. Can you see that? We started with seaweed, and we're at the elephant. You see a marvelous, you put a piece of seaweed next to an elephant, and you see that God has made tremendous progress in the creation of the universe. Okay, so now, just when you think he's topped himself with the elephant, it's like, what could be better than the elephant? No, but there's something better than the elephant, and all creation is like hushed, and then God makes Adam, and he puts Adam in the garden, and it's like, whoa, God's really outdone himself. So Adam is a slight improvement on the elephant. Man has only a slightly better memory than the elephant, and the human male is only slightly more attractive than the elephant, and the human male only smells slightly better than the elephant. Okay, so everybody sees this and, well, that's pretty good. It's a little better than the elephant. But then God puts Adam to sleep, and he brings out of Adam what I call Adam 2.0, which is Eve. And why should we assume that the progression stops with Adam? Do you see what I'm saying? Eve is better. She's an improvement on Adam, just as much as Adam is an improvement over the elephant. And so it is Adam's desire then to go toward his wife. Well, no, you're right. It's not his desire. It's his natural inclination is to go toward his wife because she has what he lacks. God took something from him. Maybe we can get out. We're talking about sex now, I realize, instead of marriage. I want to talk about marriage. Maybe we can talk about sex later. All right? Don't even take your kids out of the room. Are you kidding? Your kids need to be in this room. If you're hiding sexual things from your kids, you are screwing them up for life. You are ruining them. Unless you are honest and open. If you get all prudish and all puritanical, I know we got Thanksgiving coming up. You start acting like the pilgrims with your kids and sex, you're going to ruin them for life. They're going to be hung up on sex. You have to be open and honest and just let it all hang out. I'm not talking about your body parts. I'm talking about discussing it openly and honestly. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because I'm almost out of time here. Now, concerning what you write to me, it is ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. Holy smokes, you're right, I don't have time. I can't wait to get to, I'm going to get to verse 2 tomorrow, okay? Verse 2 is a mind blower. Most of the women listening to me are not going to like 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, at which time you should remind yourself that I didn't write it. This has been Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow.